You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Good afternoon. Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. It's absolutely beautiful outside. I'm coming to you, as always. I like to preface the living room of my apartment. Hello, welcome to COVID-19 reality. And I always say that because I have five dogs, and at any given time, one, two, three, four, five, I actually sound like LeBron there, don't I? Are going to bark, say something, talk to me. I don't know. Maybe try to talk to you. So just FYI, sorry, not sorry. Ty is working from our studios in New York City. He's supporting the team. He's taking one for the team. He's coming into the studio. So Ty, I know you were off last week. I missed you, man. How you doing?
Missed you too. Glad to be back. And it feels good to be missed. Feels good to be missed.
It does feel good to be missed.
I think it's such an feeling. It's an underrated feeling. Like we've got so accustomed. Like people just say it so flippantly. I miss you. But when you actually think about the sincerity of it, that is a remarkable feeling. I will say this.
I don't say that just off the cuff. Like I don't. I don't tell people I miss them if I don't miss them.
Oh wow! So I feel
like
good.
If I really miss somebody, like you know, that's the only time that I will say like, hey, listen, I really missed you, and I really missed you last week.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, 800-919. We're getting sappy here. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. A lot to dive into and some great guests that we have booked for you. If you don't know, now you know. I host a gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN every Friday night. It's late. I know my social life sucks, but it's okay. From 10 p.m. to midnight on Friday night, it's called Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM. Cynthia Freeland was on the show with me. I typically have her on, as you know, on Saturdays today, but I wanted her on as we're getting closer. Can you believe it, Ty? Somebody freaking pinch me. We are like 2 weeks away, right? Like almost 3 weeks away from the NFL season kicking off. And listen, I'm very transparent. I told you I will be shocked if the NFL starts on time. I am shocked because it really does look like the NFL is going to start on time, which is really, really unbelievable considering, you know, our reality right now. But so I had Cynthia on the show last night. We were talking about some of the player bets out there, player prop bets that you can get on now, that you want to get on now before those lines change. So we're going to, this shows, I know there's a lot going on in regards to the Knicks getting totally screwed. The Yankees and the Mets, they are on a quick pause. Hopefully it's a quick pause because of COVID-19 and two Mets came down with one player, one employee came down positive. I guess from what I understand, everything I'm reading, they're still stuck in Miami. We're going to dive into that. And obviously a lot of NBA games that are going to be played today and tomorrow, this weekend. But, you know me, and my wheelhouse is football. And also, everyone is getting ready for their fantasy football draft. So we'll have the phone lines open throughout the show. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. But where was I going? I had a thought. Don't you hate when that happens? Like you have a thought, you have an idea, you have something you want to share, and then all of a sudden you derail, thinking that your mind is on tap, that you know that you're going to find your way back, and then all of a sudden you're lost. That just happened to me, Ty. That just really happened to me. Mina Kimes is going to be joining us at 1 o'clock this afternoon. First time Mina Kimes is going to be on with us. Pretty stoked about that. And David Lennon from Newsday is going to join us in the third hour around 2:30 to talk about the Mets and the Yankees and the fact that their series has been postponed again because of COVID-19. Cynthia Freeland, if you missed that interview last night, I'm assuming you did. It was a Friday night. It was late. If you did, we're going to replay that for you coming your way around 12:30. Again, hoping, and trying to help everybody getting to get ready for their NFL season, whether it's you're a big gambler when it comes to the NFL season or to get you ready for fantasy, because the information that she shared with us last night, I think was so precious and so valuable. So I do want to replay that for you. But let's kick it off with what's going on in the NBA and the Knicks. It is unfortunate. And Ty, I know that you're a big Knicks fan. So I would love for you to chime in on this conversation, and we'll open up the phone lines 800-919-3776. All right. So here's the stats that I do know. Heading into the NBA draft lottery, the Knicks, they're really, they should have gotten anywhere, like the probability of them getting somewhere between 5 and 6, the 5 or 6th pick was the most likely. For them to get the number one pick overall was 9%. For the Knicks to get in the top 3, it was 27.6%. The fact that they got the 8th pick was like double the chances for them to get the 8th pick as it would have been to get in the top 6. Can we just marinate in that for a minute? That's how god awful. I know women believe in curses and supernatural stuff more so than men. I understand that. I don't, if you're a man and you're a Knicks fan, like, how can you not feel that this organization is cursed? How can you not, Ty? How can you not feel that somebody somewhere put some kind of hex on this organization? Right?
Well, except for the fact that in 2017, when Bam Adebayo and Donovan Mitchell were still on the board, you drafted Frank Ntilikina. So that's not being cursed. That's you making
a
poor decision.
Right. And also, I'll call it dumb. You call it a poor decision. You'd be more politically correct.
And in 2015, you didn't need the number one overall pick to draft Kristaps Porzingis, who right now in the playoffs is giving you 23-10. But of course, you traded him away. Because for some reason or another, the relationship was fractured. So it's not just bad luck. You don't need to win the draft in order to win the draft. Like, you can not have the number one overall pick and still get great players. We've seen it all across the NBA. The Bucks,
yeah, i.e. Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah, the Bucks right now are contending for a championship. Giannis wasn't the number one overall pick.
Actually, look at last year. Look at what's going on with Zion.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of analysts out there who are, you know, unless Zion loses weight, there's some major concerns for him. Where Morant is really the rookie of the year.
Yes.
And what he was able to do, but Zion went first. So I mean, you're absolutely right. Just because you get the number one overall pick doesn't mean that you're always going to get the best player. And we've seen that time and time and time again. But dude, again, the Knicks had double the chances of landing the 8th pick than landing in the top 6. You know, on top of, you know, really missing out last year, whether it was Zion, whether it was Morant, whatever the case may be, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie going to the Nets. It's just, I just feel like every year it's something. And I was listening to Alan Hahn and Bart Scott the other day, of course, after the NBA lottery decision, the ping pong balls were decided. I thought Alan had an interesting take on this. So let's tee that up. Here's Alan Hahn in his message to Knicks fans.
Since Patrick Ewing in 85, the Knicks have been in the lottery, I think, 15 million times. They have never moved up in the draft, ever. They've moved back, as they did yesterday. They have never, ever moved up. So it feels like that Ewing tax they continue to pay. Inside the organization, though, I wonder what they're going to do with this pick. Because, you know, you can, like I said, you can probably find value at 8. They've got 3 picks, by the way, in the first 38 of this draft. So they have some draft capital. But because this is a new regime with Leon Rose and World Wide West, and obviously Tom Thibodeau is the coach, they've made a lot of changes to the front office. you kind of wonder, are they going to look to just make sweeping changes with that roster? And would this be a trade asset with the eighth pick? Because they've already got four young guys on this roster, three top 10 picks already on this roster. It might be time to upgrade and maybe try to accelerate the process. For all the Knicks fans, stop praying for miracles. You are rooting for the Cleveland Browns, the Chicago Cubs. That's who you are. There's nothing you can do about it until they start turning it around and proving themselves. But stop praying for these miracles, winning the lottery. How about, can they get Giannis? Can they get Anthony Davis? Stop it. What I think you have to do is create your own miracle.
That was the cut that I wanted to share with everyone, and especially Knicks fans. 800-919-3776. You know, and in regard to wanting the miracle to happen, wanting the big name free agents to happen. And I think Alan hit the nail on the head in regard to what's going on with this franchise and what's going on with this team. And with all due respect to Dolan, unfortunately, his reputation in around the NBA is not the best. And the fact that Rose is here and West, you know, hopefully that regime, the guys that have been brought in, will hopefully repair and change the brand that exists within the NBA circles of big name players like, you know, Alan mentioned Giannis and a number of players that maybe next summer and the summer after are going to become available, and then not looking at the Knicks as a destination because of ownership. Hopefully, with the new regime that has been hired, agents and players will overlook that and still want to come here. But again, I think Alan hit the nail on the head, and that is this regime that is here has to create their own miracle, has to create their own dynasty. And yes, it's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of time. And I know that Knicks fans have been, they've already suffered. It's kind of like, oh, you've already suffered long enough. But oh, by the way, it's going to take another 3 to 5 years for this organization to really get into a position where it's going to be relevant again in relying on its own draft picks, relying on its own decisions when it comes to draft picks or trading or whatever the case may be. And maybe five is a little bit much, but I think it's safe to say that we can all agree that it's going to take a minimum of 3 years for this organization to really, in the new powers that be, to really turn it around. But you know, at the same time, when you look around the NFL and you look at the teams that are doing well, there are outliers out there, like Toronto, right? Like the Raptors. Like that is an organization. That's an outlier organization that has done it all from within. But they're few and far between. When you look at teams that have success in the NBA, it's the teams that create the big three or have now developed the big two, because now there's a lot more parity when it comes to the NBA. And so, you know, I think it's a lot to ask of Knicks fans to be like, why can't we be like that team? Why don't big name players want to come here? Why are we always getting screwed now 2 years in a row in the draft? When last year, let's be honest, they should have, and whether you agree with the lottery or not, I understand the concept and it being implemented is to avoid tanking. I understand all that. But still, at the end of the day, I'm old school. I believe the worst team, whether you're NBA, hockey, NFL, worst team gets the first pick. Just like fantasy football, right? That Wednesday morning, the worst team, the team that has the worst record, you get the first selection off of the waiver wire. And then after that, it's a free-for-all. And so, you know, it's really unfortunate. The situation, the state of where this team is at right now. And, you know, I could totally understand in regard to the time frame that Knicks fans have been suffering to want to see it turn around more quickly than most. And I just don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Let's go to Danny in Staten Island. Danny, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Great.
Hey, so the problem here is James L. Dolan, right? It amazes me that the same guy who owns the Knicks somehow manages to own the Rangers, and yet the Rangers show success over and over. Yeah, they haven't gotten to the Cup, but they've perennially been a contender. They've had players that want to sign with them. They make all the right moves, right? On the Knicks side, you have the owner of a team going after Charles Oakley, right, who's one of the most beloved Knicks from their glory days ever, right? He went with Steve Mills not once but twice, and the feedback from players has been, this guy is so out of touch, he has no idea, he's just not a guy who's going to be able to recruit players from the millennial generation.
But let me ask you, Danny, obviously that's not going to change. I mean, Dolan was on the K show. He said it time and time again. He's not going to sell the team. So, you know, that dynamic, that area is not going to change. But based on who they've brought in, do you have any faith as a Knicks fan in regard to who they brought in to try to change the narrative?
The only reason I have faith is because it's about time they went out of the box and mm-hmm. brought somebody who's actually in touch with today's players,
right?
I think Dolan's got some damage control to do. I think he's got to reach into his past and make amends with Oakley. He's got to show free agents that after their time is done here, he's not going to treat them horribly or their legacy's not going to be tainted. He's got to give them a reason to hope. I mean, look, you had the same issues with the Rangers in the early 2000s, right? But for some reason, Glenn Sather either A, learned how to manage correctly in a salary cap, or B, learned how to manage Dolan the right way, and basically kept him out of the day-to-day operations of the Rangers, which kind of brought them back to where they are now, where you're excited. And when they did things the right way, right? I mean, Mills and Perry did an obvious tank job, right? And then when you looked at the Rangers, they said, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to stay competitive. And I guess you want to call it karma or the hockey gods or whatever, rewarded them with first and number two pick, and now the number one pick, and that team could not be in a better spot for the next 5 years. The Knicks just don't have that karma because they don't bring it upon themselves.
Danny, solid call today. Appreciate you. Let's go to Frank in New Rochelle. Frank, you're up.
Hi, how are you? You know, the last GM that the Knicks had that was really knew what he was doing in life, it was Donnie Walsh. And if he didn't want Carmelo Anthony, that big trade would have never happened. And that worked. That worked out. We got one round of the playoffs with Carmelo, one winning round. This guy Leon Rose, I have nothing against the guy. It seems like the culture is going well, but he's a sports agent. Like it goes back to that thought that because he's an agent and knows all these guys, that they're going to come, which is just
it totally worked. It worked out for the Lakers, Frank. It worked out for the Lakers, right? I mean, granted, yes, they had Magic there as well, Lakers, who was recruiting.
Yeah, the Lakers are the Lakers. I mean, we can't. The Knicks might be the storied franchise.
Well, wait, time out. Frank, there was a period of time where the Lakers were, you know, sucking wind as well. They were cellar dwellers. Keep that in mind. But when you bring in Magic, you know, obviously Magic had a lot to do with LeBron going to the Lakers. I understand that.
Yeah, but Magic's a waste of time when it comes to general managers. He's a player. But look, the Yankees and the Lakers, to me, are like the Cowboys. They're all the same. They may be bad for a stretch, but eventually they're going to be really good. The Knicks, they're not in that category. They're not even close. I hope this guy Leon and Wes, Wild World Wes, I hope both those guys can bring. Forget it. Let me see who they pick in the eighth pick. That, to me, will tell me more than picking Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox can't score. The game is all about scoring, not about playing. You could Thibodeau will teach them how to play defense. That's his job, and he does it fantastic. But to have 3-point shooters, and we got the guy from France, that guy can't score. It's like their picks in the first round, the first 8 or 9 picks with those two drafts are just laughable. You cannot win with players like that in the league. They could be maybe a role player. That's it. So I want to see who they pick in the eighth pick. That would, to me, be much more important than all their connections with all the sports agent, etc. I'm hoping the best. I'm a Knicks fan, very frustrated.
Frank, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Joe, also calling in from Staten Island. Joe, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. I have no surprise that we fell in the lottery. You know, as a longtime Knicks fan, I think part of the problem is Dolan, but I think that the culture has to change. I think that we need to draft players that mesh well on the court. It's not just about what their stats are, but to look at how they are on the court, off the court. I think Ball, even if we had the first or second pick, I wouldn't pick him. He has too much baggage. And it's not like Little Orphan Annie. It's not going to be like, you know, all of a sudden a miracle that's going to happen, and then the Knicks are going to turn into contenders. They need to process all of the information that they have on future draft picks and trades and see how that's going to make the team in sync. Because right now it's really they're not gelling well, they're not scoring, you know what I mean? At times you have, you know, too many people that want to shoot. You know, you need to have people that understand that they have a role on the team, and they don't have that, and hopefully they'll have that in the next 2 to 3 years with their draft picks.
Yeah,
I have no faith that free agents are going to come here, in part because of what's happened the past 20 years and how Dolan is. Dolan's not going anywhere, so it's up to the management and to the GM and his advisors to change that culture.
Joe, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I know you're absolutely right. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of people who wanted to see Mark Jackson be hired as the next head coach of the Knicks. As we know, we have Thibodeau here. And here's the one positive about Thibodeau, and the last caller just touched on it in regard to his attention to defense. And I think, and I anticipate Thibodeau to come in and help this organization, help this team, and help these young players, A, learn and appreciate playing defense, because that's something that has to happen, right? Like, you know, there's so, it's unfortunate. Like, you know, you have to be as strong on both sides of the court. It's not all about scoring points, you know, and getting on SportsCenter and being a part of the highlight reel. You know, playing defense in the NBA is something that you pride yourself doing, and you enjoy doing personally. You thrive in it. You know, you don't get the accolades. You don't get the SportsCenter, you know, top 10. You know, maybe if you have this unbelievable block, maybe you're on, you know, but you don't necessarily get a lot of credit for it, but it's something that you pride yourself in. And maybe that's something that, you know, I'm anticipating. I'd like to see Thibodeau kind of bring that type of mentality, swagger, and create a brand and create an identity with the Knicks.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
And Mina, welcome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on a Saturday afternoon. So appreciate you.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. So, and understand that I did not plan this, but I'm sitting, my team, and I just shared with our listeners, I'm sitting with Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Chris Carson on my roster. How well do you think I'm going to do this season?
I think pretty well. You know, there's still some lingering injury questions around Chris Carson, but they also didn't give him a lot of competition in Seattle with Rashad Penny, former first-round draft pick, still banged up, and they didn't take a running back or sign one outside of Carlos Hyde, who, you know, he has said pretty explicitly he knows his role is as the backup. So if Chris Carson is healthy, he's the number one. And when he's been the healthy number one, he's been an extremely underrated part of that offense, you know, one of the best tackle breaking backs in the league. They love to use him at the goal line. Meanwhile, I think DK Metcalf, the concern there is just him and Tyler Lockett are both sort of, they're like 1A and 1B, right? There's no clear number one, but man, you don't want to put too much stock into training camp reports and videos, Anita, but he looks good.
So let me ask you, though, you know, Rashad Penny, this has been a reason why I have stayed away from that Seattle Seahawks backfield. What do you feel the issue has been that he hasn't been the man in the backfield? And what, you know, what do you expect out of these two this coming season?
Yeah, it's been primarily injuries. Even his first season, there was questions, okay, well, he's healthy now. Why isn't he playing? Why doesn't he look as explosive as he did in college? Well, I think the injuries he suffered in the offseason sort of derailed his development as a young runner, and he's flashed at times. But for the most part, I imagine Seattle is a pick they'd like to have back. And I think I'd be a little bit nervous about Chris Carson, like if you had a dynasty league, because he's in a contract season, right? But for now, he, to me, is the clear number one.
Again, Mina Kimes joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, so are you happy with, and by the way, you were such a trooper yesterday. We had some technical difficulties, and probably nobody had it worse than Mina, and she powered through. So, and I know that's, it's got to be hard. You're concentrating. I know that we were picking extremely fast. Like, were you happy with the team that you walked away with yesterday?
You know, first of all, my technical difficulties made y'all wait, so we all suffered. But when I looked at the team I ended up with, it's kind of an interesting roster construction. I ended up with a lot of running backs. So I picked first, and I took the choice who I imagine is probably going to go first in like 75% of leagues. That's Christian McCaffrey. And then I also, my second pick was Chris Godwin. I took another blue chip player, George Kittle. But outside of that, I rolled the dice a little bit. I took a lot of rookie running backs. I took James Conner as my number two back, thinking that, you know, the injuries we saw last year won't define his season and what I expect to be a much better Pittsburgh offense. But then I also grabbed DeAndre Swift in Detroit, Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. There's question marks around all these players and whether there's going to be a committee or whether they're going to be the clear number one. But I like the upside for all of them. And that's something I thought, oh, that's the approach. If I can take one of the four premier backs, I might do that in my other leagues as well.
It's interesting that that's the approach you're taking, considering, again, we're in this COVID-19 environment, no preseason games, no OTAs.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be playing catch up probably the first 5 weeks of the season, where when I did my talk back with Trey and Matthew Berry, they asked me, like, why Gronk? Like, why I took Gronk at 8. And I said, listen, you know, I'm probably an outlier. I don't believe that the Tampa Bay Bucs are going to do as well as most people think. Again, just because, you know, they haven't had the time together. It's a new system that Tom Brady is going to have to really digest, with Bruce Arians, you know, having a say in things. And if Gronk is as healthy as we're hearing and seeing that he is, there's a trust factor there, because this is a guy that Tom Brady's been throwing to. And every time you hear, when Tom's not throwing to a certain wide receiver, the response, you know, the reason being we hear is he doesn't trust him. Well, we know he's got immense trust in Gronk. That's why. So for me to draft Gronk in the 8th round, I thought that was pretty solid. But, you know, I'm evaluating and I'm wagering on teams this year in a whole different situation. Like, I'm looking at teams with very little change, more continuity, and on top of that, coaches that are great leaders of men, like John Harbaugh, like Sean Payton, like Andy Reid, as opposed to new coaches that have to come in that are going to have to, like, I haven't gotten into it yet in the show, but, like, talk about, like, Joe Judge. And boy, the way that he's handling things over there, about a 7-iron from me. I think that's going to be really, really tough. You know, I think it's going to be a very interesting year. A, teams to stay healthy, lock and step with one another, being responsible for one another in handling COVID-19 properly, but also having great leaders of these men in a very trying time, and a very trying season. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think all of those factors sway heavily on this season, especially in the beginning of the season. Like, when I think of the Bucks, Anita, I think of a team that's probably going to look very different in December, knock on wood that they're still playing in December, than they will in September, which, by the way, is always true in the NFL. You know, we're always seeing this with new teams and offenses and coordinators and all that. It's just more true this year. You know, or I think of a team like Chicago, where I really love Allen Robinson as a fantasy pick, but we don't know who's playing quarterback there, right? So, because we didn't have a preseason competition. I will say, you know, you kind of got to dig a little bit below the surface for certain teams when we're looking at questions and continuity. For example, a team like Dallas, right? New head coach and Mike McCarthy, obviously very experienced, but new defensive coordinator. But they kept their offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, who was very effective last year. And McCarthy's been very clear about letting him continue to have the reins there and call that offense and build on what he started with Dak Prescott. They had the second most efficient offense in football. So that's an example of a situation where, yes, there's been change there. Yes, CeeDee Lamb, for example, is a rookie wide receiver, but I still think that offense is going to be a juggernaut out the gate.
Interesting. Again, Mina Kimes joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about what's going on in New England. I was probably the only person who, and actually, I put money where my mouth is. I actually put down, it was plus 300 that Jared Stidham was going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots week one of the regular season. And you got that at plus 300. I also, there's a wager out there that Teddy Bridgewater is going to throw for more yards and more touchdown passes than Cam Newton. And I want to say, if I remember correctly, that was like minus 138. So even though that's not plus money, it's still at 138. Not a lot of juice that you have to give up. I thought that was pretty solid. And again, you know, players who play for the Patriots, they say that their playbook is as thick as War and Peace, which I never read. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I did, and is very, very difficult to digest for anyone. So for Cam to come in and digest that with no preseason games, no OTAs, I'm not sitting here saying that Cam's a better quarterback than Stidham, but I just felt like it was Stidham being in the system for a year. So I put all my money. In fact, I've got a wager on the table with Mike Tannenbaum for a box of Pro V1s. But now Stidham is dealing with, now we don't know, is it a hip, is it a knee, whatever the case may be. He's not supposed to be back at practice until tomorrow. But now Brian Hoyer's in the mix. What are you expecting from the Patriots this year, Amina?
I think Cam Newton's going to be the quarterback. Now, I don't dislike some of those wagers you mentioned, especially the Teddy one, just for health reasons. I think he might, you know, play more football games. But even before Jared Stidham got hurt, the last reports were hearing out of camp were he was having a bit of a rough time, and you've seen Cam sort of steadily improving there. It's very difficult to walk into any offense, much New England, in months and learn it. But what we've seen with the Patriots is they have rapidly also retooled that offense on the fly, whether it's a Matt Castle or a Jacoby Brissett or a Jimmy Garoppolo. They've had great, Josh McDaniels has had great success working with those two young guys I mentioned at the end there. So I have faith in the ability of him, Belichick, and Cam Newton to put their heads together and come up with a game plan that suits him early on. Now, obviously, all this is predicated on his health, but I have spent a fair amount of time actually watching Jared Stidham's preseason snaps because, of course, we don't have that much to go on with him. And I will tell you, from a football perspective, with Cam Newton, it's a simple choice for me. I would go with Cam.
I am also predicting that the Baltimore Ravens go 16-0, and you can get that at 25-1 for a number of reasons. Again, I just shared with you. So before I came to New York, I was in Baltimore for 4 years, and my last 2 years there was with Harbs. So I know what kind of coach he is, and I know how demanding he is of his players. I love what they did in free agency, bringing in Calais Campbell. I love that they've drafted Patrick. I love Patrick Queen. I think he's amazing. I think he's the best cover linebacker in the league. So arguably the best secondary in the NFL. I like them defensively. Offensively, they're just going to be ridiculous. Marquise Brown is going to take the NFL by storm. He's put on 20 pounds. The dude's a beast. Nobody even knows anything about Justice Hill. He didn't even touch the ball, I don't know, more than 10 times last year. The dude is a video game. I just, on top of that, they've got the easiest schedule in the NFL. They've got the least amount of travel by 2,000 miles, Mina. And the only time they play out of the Eastern time zone is in Texas against the Houston, against the Texans in week two. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. Like, if you really dive into the Ravens in a pandemic environment, like, all the stars align so properly for them this season, even out of their control, continuity. They didn't lose one coach. Not even a skilled position coach. They only lost one player from their 22 starters. And that was because he retired on the offensive line. So, and you could get that 25-1 that the Ravens go 16-0. That's my team that I anticipate will win the Super Bowl. Who are you looking at? Who do you really, really like coming into the season?
Well, I love the Baltimore Ravens, and, you know, if the odds are good on 16-0, why not? I think they're more likely to go 16-0 than 8-8. But in the rankings that I've done so far, and my podcast, The Media Kime Show, we did a team draft the other day. I have consistently found myself picking Kansas City one overall. I think the Ravens are the second best team in the NFL, and the Chiefs are the first. They just unfortunately happen to be in the same conference. But I just believe with the Chiefs, you also have a lot of that continuity we've been talking about, and they paid heavily for it, Anita, but they're going to have it this year, and maybe that'll hurt their cap in a couple of years. But for now, they are still the same team we saw last year. added obviously a tremendous young running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And they have the best quarterback in football, who I think has the potential to be the best quarterback in the history of the game. So it's really hard for me to pick against Mahomes and Reed. Even though Kansas City, they've got their weaknesses. You know, that secondary has some holes. Didn't really address the linebacker group the way you might have hoped. But I just think where it's important, that team is so strong that I'm not comfortable picking against them.
Mina, before we let you go, again, congratulations on being a new part of NFL Live. So when has that started already? How can people see you? What days are you going to be on? Are you going to be on every day? If you can, fill us in.
Yeah, thank you so much. It launches Monday, so your timing is great. 4 p.m. Eastern every day on ESPN. I'll be on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays with the gang, and we're excited. There's already so many juicy NFL stories that are happening, and we're just looking forward to talking about them.
Yeah, it's a really great crew that has been assembled, so congratulations. And then, again, just a reminder, the Fantasy Football Marathon kicks off Sunday night at 9:30 and goes through Monday night at 9:30, and I believe our mock draft is supposed to air sometime around noon or 1, right? If I remember
correctly? A little later, actually. I heard
Oh,
five.
Is it? Is it? Oh, it's supposed to air at 5?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah.
Okay, great. Good thing I had you on today that you could clarify that for me. And again, once you share your podcast, how can people tune into your podcast?
Oh, yeah. It's the Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny once a week, every week, all NFL.
And Lenny would be your dog.
That's my dog, yeah.
And what breed is it?
You know, he's a mixed breed, indeterminate, but.
Oh, you haven't gotten the ancestry DNA done yet?
Dude, I actually did that twice and got wildly different results, so I'm a little bit dubious. There were gifts from people. I want to just clarify that. And, you know, I'm not even sure how old he is. I think 8 or 9 is what we're going with, hoping that's right. But, you know, he's the only dog in America with his own NFL podcast. So he's got
I love it. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I have 5 dogs.
Whoa.
Yeah. Bye. And they were so well behaved yesterday, weren't they? You didn't even hear them once.
I did not. That is incredible.
So my oldest is 20. So I have 2 rat terriers.
20?
I know. That's 177 years old in human years. So my oldest is Billy. She's 20. My second oldest is another rat terrier. Her name is Mila. She's 18. Then I have 3 Chihuahuas. One is 12, and then my 2 boys are 5 and 4. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so they're all napping. They're all napping right now while I'm hosting the show. So, anyway, Mina, we share passion for dogs and football, and it was really great to have you on the show. It's your first time on my show, and I really do appreciate your time. Good luck this season. Kick butt, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Good luck to your team. I want them to succeed for selfish reasons.
I know you do. All right, you got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click, 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 or Don't. Click, Click, Boom! Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. The fun way that we kind of take our tour around the wide, wide world of sport and find out what's trending based on some of the headlines that are out there. And Ty, who's producing the show back in New York, is going to lead the way. Ty, what you got?
All right. There is no better place than to start in the National Basketball Association, Anita, where we have the 2019-2020 Coach of the Year. It has officially been named.
Okay.
Are you clicking?
I'm clicking.
All right. So fresh off of winning the title last season, the defending champion Toronto Raptors get to see their head coach, Nick Nurse, become the coach of the year. The Raptors, 53-19 this season. They're currently up 3-0 in the best of 7 series against the Nets, the number 2 seed. Lost Kawhi Leonard, but no problem so far. They won 5 more games last season, but they still look like a pretty good team. Pascal Siakam is emerging as a star in this league. Kyle Lowry continues to be the great player that he is. Nick Nurse, your 2019-2020 Coach of the Year.
I think it's well-deserved, don't you? I mean, I don't know about you, but when, you know, Kawhi left to go to the Clippers, I got the sense like, oh, well, you know,
they're done.
I was expecting the same when like LeBron left Cleveland, or, you know, when LeBron left Miami, or when LeBron, you know, left Cleveland again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wah, 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 wah. So, you know, the fact that, you know, obviously give credit where credit's due in regard to the team that has been assembled. But yeah, I think give credit where credit is due, because they far exceeded my expectations. I would assume that they far exceeded yours as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm right with you in terms of, you know, Kawhi Leonard right now is inarguably a top three player in the NBA. You can argue the order. Maybe he's number one, number two, or number three. But when you lose a guy of that caliber and he goes to the Clippers, you're expecting the Raptors to, you know, take a step back and not just be dead in the water, but, you know, hover around the four or the five or the six seed. But as I mentioned, they are the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. They're going to win this series against the Nets. Unfortunately, Brooklyn, great story, what they did in the bubble, but just too undermanned. The Raptors could very well get to the Eastern Conference Finals and challenge a team that I think will be there waiting for them in the Milwaukee Bucks. So shout out to head coach Nick Nurse. He's doing an incredible job with the Toronto Raptors. All right, let's go to football. The Ravens sent Earl Thomas home Friday after a fiery on-field argument with Chuck Clark.
Ooh, yeah, I'm clicking that, because if you heard my discussion with Mina Kimes, and I've said it time and time again, I'm putting my money down that the Ravens go 16-0, and Thomas is a big part of that. So yeah, I'm clicking that.
I think, and I don't want to, you know, be a Debbie Downer, but I think we should change your, let's just call it, prediction from 16-0 to undefeated. Like, if you're all in on the Ravens,
fair.
Just say undefeated.
That's fair, but the wager out there right now is 16-0.
Oh, okay.
But yes, you're absolutely right, and it's not about being a Debbie Downer. It's about being a realist. You know, there is a chance that the season might not go 16 games. You know, there's a lot of scenarios out there right now, and what the NFL is anticipating on doing. Whether it's 12 games, 14 games, hopefully it's 16 games, could be 10 games. You never know. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, what happens in the winter when a lot of scientists are expecting this thing to kind of rear its ugly head again, especially here in the Northeast. So you're absolutely right. But right now the wager is 16-0 at 25-1. Yeah.
All right. So Earl Thomas on Friday got into a heated argument with Chuck Clark, and it was due to a missed assignment on the field. And on Instagram, he wrote this, because, of course, we need social media anytime we want to render an apology. Being sent home sucks. I can't take the reps I need to keep momentum going, but I can reflect on things and keep working my plan to help the team win. A mental error on my part, a busted coverage that I tried to explain calmly with built-up aggression turned into me getting into it with a teammate. So the Ravens, unfortunately, had to send Earl Thomas home because he was on the sidelines screaming at Chuck Clark. And it says that they had to be restrained by teammates and coaches. Thomas put up his fist at one point. So, of course, you kind of run the risk of there being some type of fight. Can't have that happen. So Baltimore sending home Earl Thomas. Yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, you know, again, a conversation I had with Mina, you know, I was in Baltimore for 4 years. 2 years was with Brian Billick, and the other two were with Harbaugh. Homie don't play at all. He just, there was one time. So I was hosting Sports Talk Radio from 2 to 6, sometimes 6:30 at night. And my radio show was televised on the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. So I had a simulcast going on, and that was Monday through Friday. During football season, I would broadcast my show from 2 to 5. From 5 to 6, I would leave the studio and I would go to a sports bar. And Monday through Thursday, I would host Ravens shows on radio. So Monday was the Ray Lewis show. Tuesday was the Ray Rice show. Wednesday was the Jonathan Ogden show. And Thursday was the Terrell Suggs show. And we would do those from 6 to 8 at night. That was my week, Ty, during football season. And I'll never forget one time I'm on air doing the show with Ray Rice, and Ray's phone is blowing up and it's Harbaugh. And Ray's like, oh, snap. that's Harbs. Go to a break. I have to pick this up. So go to a break. He picks up the phone. He comes back. He's like, I got to go. I said, what do you mean you got to go? We have an hour left on the show. You can't go. He goes, no, I have to go to the facility. Harbs, it was like 9 o'clock at night. Harbs is like, I have to go. I have to go back to the facility. Like, he wants me in therapy, right? He wants me getting treatment right now. He's like, I said, did you tell him you're doing a radio show? He says, oh, he knows. He was listening. He's demanding I leave my radio show and I go back to the facility to get treatment. Oh, he's like, I got to go. So Ray had to leave the radio show early. But anyway, like, that's the kind of coach. That's the kind of dude that Harbaugh is.
See, the one critique I'll have of how that interaction played out is Ray Rice is he has to be a team player and take that phone call on the air. We've got to hear
what Harbaugh is
saying. We got to get your reaction to it. And I think that has to happen next time.
Yeah, that would not have gone well. What else? Give us one more before we go to break.
Last one, LeBron James calls out an ad campaign for misusing one of his tweets.
Yeah, you know what? That intrigues me. I'm going to click it.
Okay. This is not political, but LeBron on social media yesterday addressed a Washington Post story about the Protect My Vote website, which reportedly has been circulating ads on Facebook that paint mail-in voting as unreliable. But how does it, you know, include LeBron James? I'm glad you asked. One of the posts on Facebook featured a tweet LeBron put out in June in which he called polling closures in Kentucky a sign of quote-unquote systemic racism and oppression. But the problem is the Facebook post misconstrued the tweet, and it suggested that LeBron was linking closures to the expansion of mail-in voting ahead of this year's general election. So LeBron goes to Twitter yesterday and says, nobody should be able to use my name or anyone else's name to lie and deceive about the election. So LeBron not happy with this ad campaign. Who would be after misusing, misconstruing, and putting out, you know, false information as far as his tweet and linking it to something that he had no, you know, intention of it being linked to?
No bueno. No bueno.
Not at all.
Ty, great job with Click or Don't Click. A little insight on in what is trending out there right now in our sports universe.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.